Good evening.
Good evening, Dan.
John?
Do you have some hymns for us to sing tonight?
I have two chosen. I picked out 210 and 392.
Okay.
Those are okay.
Okay.
Nearer, still nearer than when I just played.
Let's see the one you just played. What page is that?
392.
Number 392. Since that's wafting in our ears. Father, thank you that we can come together this evening to worship you, to sing hymns of not only praise to your name, but hymns that remind us of the Christian life, the walk of a believer, the truths that your word teach, and to spend time together thinking about you, and then later this evening to turn to your table and to remember your son's death. We thank you, Father, that we can do this. We pray that you would bless this time to our lives. And may what we do be pleasing to you and helpful to us. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. John, I wonder if we can sing that just before the Lord's table this evening. 210. Is that all right?
Mm-hmm.
John and Beth is up and down with her cold. Better today, worse tomorrow sort of thing. John is really not feeling well. And David's not here this evening. This is really unusual. Dave is just always there. He called me this afternoon and said he was just not really feeling well. And Sandy just told me they took his temperature and it's 101. And his first thought was, boy, I hope I didn't share that with anyone. Well, you just don't know. You know, he didn't know that coming into this morning service. So here we are. But I want to remember Dave and John and Beth. Any other prayer requests from Al?
Abdominal pain.
No, I don't.
Mother-in-law.
Could be. Rachel and Joe.
Oh, okay. Not Rachel's mom.
Not Rachel's mom, no.
Okay.
Is Maybelle...
she's...
the friend of the fellow that works in your farm?
Yeah, yeah, Ozzy's girlfriend.
Okay. Okay, well... Doug Bullen called me after the service this morning and... said that his mother has been taking some falls recently. And it would be one thing if she was slipping on the ice, but it's just, it's in the house, there's just no real reason. And right away, that just threw a red flag to me, I assume to you also. And the most recent fall caused three fractures, I'm not sure which foot and ankle, three fractures in one in the other. So she's in a wheelchair in her house right now. This week they're going to be doing surgery for her. And I told Doug I would share that with you and ask you to pray this evening. You with me? Who needs a pacemaker? I mean, right? Ruby, what's happening with Kathy? I left when that was being procedure was being done. Mm-hmm. This is Ruby's second born. Kathy's your second born, right? Rick's number one. And has been having some chest pains and breathing issues. Yeah. It's interesting. If you've ever met Kathy, she, would you call her type A? I don't know quite what that means, but very active, very busy. She's with, is it Service Master? Okay. And, okay. So they take care of, oversee the maintenance for hospitals and cleaning. And okay. I should let you explain it. I mean, rather than, but it's, she's done very well in this. Does Kathy have even a college degree?
She's working on it.
Okay. And she's really over an area. It's not even over just one hospital. It's a number of hospitals, and she travels to oversee it. I say that, by the way, just because there's nothing wrong with a college or degree or more. They're helpful, but you know, in our culture, at least in our area, you can do well in a number of ways, depending on how you're gifted and so forth. And the Lord's been pleased to just open that up to her. But she's having issues with breathing, with her. Is there some heaviness in her chest? Yeah. I'm sure. And that's this week?
Thursday
of this week. Okay.
No, I don't know what time it is. Thursday, 2 o'clock is my friend's memorial for the same day.
Mm-hmm. Where would that be done?
I don't know what hospital.
In Denver area. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. John, would you remember your father and mother-in-law and David Taze tonight? And Al Maybell and Kathy. This little five-year-old girl.
5 months.
She's 5 months. That's breathtaking. Uh-huh. Doug Bullen's mom. Right. Any others? Okay, let's pray for those, would you? Amen. What's the date of today, anyone?
The 8th.
You had to look at your watch, you know, to know.
I want to just apologize to everybody, because today when you guys were out there talking with that fella who was coming through, I made some smart butt remark that I have been sorry for ever since. And as a Christian person, I mean, he's just one of God's children too, so I just want to apologize. If anybody remembers me, what I said, it was just a smart
thing. Well, two things came to my mind when you said that. NL was to smart back and say, "I've never done such a thing." None of us has. We're really looking down our noses at you. Thank you for your sensitivity in that. Yeah, and boy, that's part of growth too, isn't it? I mean, we all say and do things that we wish we could retract sometimes, and you're among good company with us. So even though I didn't hear it, you certainly have my acceptance of that and forgiveness. But I'm glad you said that, because I wish now that I had included Jason in that. Let me just update you on what we did afterwards. We had quite a long session there in the parking lot, and repeatedly kept sharing the gospel with him. Dave was there most of the time. Al came out later. I felt like I was being tag team there, just watching. And I was glad. I mean, I didn't feel unsafe with him, but you just never know what, you know, strange things might happen. This is the talking with this person was, I was confronted with the most glaring example of someone who had learned to put all of his problems on everyone else that I've ever had the opportunity of being with. He says that he is a vet, that he served in the Gulf War. I don't know, but that he is now, he's homeless, and he has health issues, and his adopted parents were a problem to him. This and this and this and this and this and this and that. Everybody's against him. It's everybody's problems. If they would just get it together, I would be okay. And so it was a real effort to just begin to share the gospel with him, because we would go from what the Bible says to what everybody else is doing to me. And I'd come back to what God says. And everybody else is doing this. And back we come. And finally, it started to sink in. And just the very basic thing of saying, you know, people can do all those things to us, but when we stand before the Lord, this is a wonderful thing, really. I don't have to answer for what the government has done to me, or what my parents have done to me, or what anyone else. The only one I have to answer for is what I've done. And this is what God says. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when it says all have sinned, what does that mean? Well, the government has... I mean, it was just like, don't want to go there. Don't want to... And he's heard this. So finally, yeah, I've sinned. I'm a sinner. And so, you know, before you can get to the gospel is the good news. It's really good news. But before you can get to the good news, you've got to understand the bad news. We've all sinned, and the wages of sin is death. And off he'd go again, talking about this. And my life is hell. I don't have to worry about going to hell. Well, that you may have a difficult life, but you know, nothing's going to compare with what is coming for all of us who have to stand before God in our own selves and answer for ourselves. And the bad news is this. And years ago, we did a little course here that was an effort to help you explain your faith to someone. And there are a number of ways to go about this, but in this particular one, when you started with the bad news and then went to the good news, the bad news is we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the illustration that this person used was to say, you know, I said, you're from Minnesota. I just came down from there. If we had a global positioning satellite, sort of gizzy, and we could focus, and I could say, this is where Jason lives. It's right up there. Right up there it is. If we picked up a rock today and tried to throw it to hit your house, one of us might throw a little further than the other, but would either of us hit your house? And he laughed, says, no. And he said, you'd probably throw it further than me. But I said, but none of us would even get close to your house, would it? And by the way, that's the whole point of the gospel. It's not that as human beings, we can't do good things. In fact, in the process of some of these talks this week, Mark Devers is pastor of Capitol Hill Baptist Church in D.C. In the midst of the D.C. area, and there's everything down there from soup to nuts. Mary lived there. She'll confirm that. There are some real God-fearers, and there are people who love the Lord. And Mark and his church have been wonderful examples of believers living the Christian life. And God has done just really unusual things in their lives. But he just made the comment about Mozart, for example. Here's a person who, I don't know this for sure, I don't think Mozart was a believer, but he could write good music. That's an expression of the image of God in that person's life. When it is, you don't have to be a believer to write good music. You can be a non-believer. That's an expression of the image of God. But the doctrine of Scripture that there is the human race is totally depraved doesn't mean that I am as bad as I possibly could be. I mean, Adolf Hitler was not as bad as he could possibly have been. Joseph Stalin, Mao Zedong. They did some good things, believe it or not, in their life. In fact, I was talking to a girl from the state of Georgia over in the former Soviet Union. And her slant on life there and what it's like with the Russians and so forth was totally different from what my thinking is. And I'm not going to go there, but the point being that fallen people can do good things. The point of total depravity is not that I can't do something good. It's that I can't be good enough to merit God's favor. I can't be good enough to measure up to His righteousness. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You and I may throw a stone and try to hit that glory of God mark, but no matter who throws it the furthest, we all are way short of perfection, of holiness, of righteousness. And as we come to the Lord's table tonight, that's a good thing to keep in mind. That all of us, you know, all of us here, in and of ourselves, could throw our spiritual rocks. We can throw them and get maybe further than somebody else. But none of us in and of ourselves can match the righteous requirement of the law. What God requires is perfection, perfect holiness. And if I have to answer for that in my life, the cards are done. It's all over but the shouting. And so in sharing this with Jason this morning, bringing him eventually to that, was a real effort. But finally, yeah, he admitted, you're right. And I am a sinner. If I have to answer, I deserve hell. Well, that's the bad news. What's the good news? The good news is the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God demonstrates his love toward us this way. While we were sinners, when I was still running as hard as I could the other way from him, he had died for me and loved me. And it came up in the sermon today, but the whole thought that God knows me intimately. He knows exactly who I am. And even when I start to grapple with how sinful I am, and I start peeling, it's like an onion, and I start peeling the layers back. And when I peel one layer back, there's another layer. And I keep peeling it back. I keep getting closer to who I really am, but I never really quite get to the core. From the very beginning, God looked through and he saw me exactly as I was. And the staggering thing about his love, as we move toward Valentine's Day and we think of the staggering thing about his love is he loved me knowing who I really am. Who I was, who I am, who I will be, he loved me. And he loved me because he loved me. Not because there was anything that I did that merited that. Anything that I did that he was pleased with. I said, now that's the guy I want in my church. He saw Ruby's, now there's a woman I want in my body. Miss Vi, there's a girl I want in my body. No. He loves us because he loves us. And that is breathtaking. That is just breathtaking to us as we ponder it. So when we left today, I took him and got him a tank of gas, got him a meal at Sonic, and he thanked me. He thanks you for that and was on his way. I get the really strong feeling that he works the system. That this wasn't the first church he's ever hit. In fact, I know it's not because of the conversation. But I'd like us to pray together this evening that God would be pleased to do the miracle of his life. John Piper, as we were talking, there was a question and answer session at the very end of this conference, and they were taking questions that people had sent in. And I've forgotten quite how this was, but in answering, here's the appropriate answer. In answering how the sovereignty of God blends in with salvation and our sharing the message of the gospel, Piper said, when Jesus Christ stood before the tomb of Lazarus, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. By the way, he didn't say it that way. It was very loud. I mean, he shouted it. Nobody in the back of the crowd, everybody heard. Lazarus, come forth. When the Word of God commands life to a dead body, Lazarus came out of there. The Bible says all of us are dead in our trespasses and sins. We're alive physically. We have different aptitudes, different races, different IQs, whatever. But we're dead. We're spiritually dead. But when Jesus Christ says, Daniel, come alive. When he says, Debbie, come alive. Michael, come alive. We come to life. It's a miracle. And just as much as seeing that dead body come up and out. And he was wrapped up, remember. Still thing on his face. He's wrapped up. And he comes out somehow out of that thing. That must have been a sight in itself. And his first command was, now loose him and let him go. It's a miracle. The new birth is a miracle. It's not because, and this was getting to the answer, it's not because we are so clever in sharing the gospel. Mark Dever was saying, you know, you do your best at sharing the gospel, but ultimately it is what God the Holy Spirit does in the heart of someone. And there's a wonderful freedom in that as we are trying to just be faithful to the Lord, because ultimately success is not because I'm so clever or I have a high IQ or I said it just right. It's right for us to understand the gospel and to present it as best as we can. But the new birth is all about God and his work and his accomplishing that. So it gives me great freedom. I can share with this fellow and do my best, but when I ask him at the very end to, you know, have you ever prayed to receive Christ? And he said, oh, yeah, I've done it 100 times or, you know, and so forth. I realized, you know, he's not there. He's not, He's not getting it. But we went on with that. And to be able to pray with him then and commend him to God. And with the full assurance that God is able to do what none of us could ever do. I can't do it. You can't do it. But God can. And as we take the Lord's table this evening, by the way, as we come, remember, it's his broken body, his shed blood that paid the penalty for us. The miracle of being a part of his body and being able to do this. And what we're doing today, last week, I went to Piper's Church on Saturday evening. They had the Lord's table there. Next morning, we went to First Baptist. First Sunday, they have the Lord's table there. So we're taking it all over. Now I share it with you this evening. But what a privilege to be a part of God's, Christ's body. Every tribe and nation and people and language will be there. And he's going to accomplish that. We just have this high privilege, this wonderful, wonderful privilege of being a part of it and sharing it together. Today is the 8th, and I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 8. When you were coming in this evening, did you happen to look up in the sky over here? Oh, yeah. Did you see it? And now I'm glad you didn't howl when you just said full moon. That would have concerned me. Today is the 8th, and I gave Jason a copy of the Daily Bread, and I said, now, here's how this works. And I showed him and turned to the day's reading, and it was all about Psalm 8. And the title was Breathless. Okay? To the chief musician on the instrument of Gath, a psalm of David. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man? Lord, I look up at the moon tonight and I see the stars and I think, what is man that you are mindful of him and the Son of Man that you visit him? For you've made him a little lower than the angels and you've crowned him with glory and honor. You've made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You've put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. The Wycliffe Bible Commentary said this about the psalm, and I jotted it down in my Bible. Man has dignity, but God alone has majesty. What a majestic God. What a wonderful God. But he's given us dignity. Well, let's pray tonight for this fellow together. I'm sure you prayed this morning. Thank you for praying for him while I was talking, for praying for me while I talked with him. And let's ask the Lord to do in his heart that wonderful work of bringing him to faith in himself. Father, we do commend Jason to you. We pray that you would be pleased to so open the eyes of his heart, so move there, Father, that he would be enabled to see Christ and him crucified, that he would understand, on the one hand, his sinfulness, that he is responsible before the living God for who he is and the sin that is a part of his life. But, Lord, that he would also reckon with the fact that Jesus Christ, your Son, has paid the penalty for that sin. And the miracle of the new birth, Father, would be visited to him, that he would come to believe and trust in you and you alone for the salvation of his soul. You know where he is right now, and you know what's going on in his life and his mind. And so together, Father, we who are beggars ourselves, who have been given the bread of life, would come before you and ask on behalf of yet another beggar that you would be pleased to break the bread of life to him and bring him into the family of God. We thank you, Father, that we have the privilege this evening of coming to your table, taking this bread and this cup, remembering your Son's death until he comes. We pray, Father, that as we share this together, you would be pleased to bless our own hearts with this. May the grace that you purpose for your people as we remember your Son and his perfect work for us be visited on us this evening. For we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We have no elders. We have no deacons. So, John, I'm going to buttonhole you. Would you help me pass these elements out this evening? Thank you. And we'll do this together. John, this represents the body of Jesus that was broken for you and for me. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." John, would you thank the Lord for his broken body for us? In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Father, thank you for your Son's sacrifice, for the shed blood of Christ that covers all sins. In Jesus' name, amen. May I take the cup? For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Closing prayer this evening. And now, would you dismiss us in a word of prayer? Thank you.